Everybody, welcome to Monday Night Therapy. Finally. Do you want to explain what just happened? Should we just go on?
You won't be late again.
Oh, I probably will. Todd, did you watch the Oscars?
No.
Neither did I, so we don't have to talk about that. Thank God that was quick. I haven't watched. I don't know who was up. I know Barbenheimer did some stuff. I haven't watched any of these movies probably because I really can't go to a movie theater and sit through a movie anymore. It's just too much cognitive stuff. And then, then it takes me a day to get back on track. Okay. For God's sakes, Linda Wilkins says, John, tell me something I don't know. I'll think about it. That wasn't very quick and witty, was it? Okay. We have a lot of people online. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend.
Let's
get right into Nebraska stuff.
Right into it.
Because, my God, where do you want to start first?
Well, you pick it, John. I picked it last week. I can't be the only one responsible in this duo.
What? Like, you know what? Let's start with women's basketball.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that was the one I think everybody was most tuned into yesterday or Saturday. Sunday.
They played in the Big Ten title game against Nemesis, Iowa. They started out beating the living crap out of them. And I mean, yeah, you couldn't last. Caitlin Clark, was 0 for 9 in the first half and threes. And you knew that wasn't going to last. You knew it wasn't going to last because, you know, I will say bad things about Iowa, but Iowa's a good basketball team. Caitlin Clark, she's a good player. She's the best player in the history of mankind, I guess. I don't know. But she was going to hit her points and she was going to make her plays. And she did, and Iowa has a good basketball team, and they in the end they just won. And I think the key was Nebraska fought that thing all the way into overtime, and it was a damn good game.
Yeah, it really was. And you know, as hot as Nebraska was in the first half, I mean, you know, they were draining three-pointers. They were running up and down the floor. They were scrapping, you know, with Iowa. It was, you know, that team is a really fun team to watch. They really are when they're clicking. And, you know, I just thought, wow, what a start to this game. Very rarely do you see a team be able to sustain that kind of success, you know, throughout the entire game. You know, halftime oftentimes, you know, that's the biggest interruption to momentum that you can possibly have. And you're right. They were not going to shut down Caitlin Clark for a full basketball game. And, you know, while I think everybody looks at Caitlin Clark because she hit some big shots in that game, she has some teammates that played very, very well. That Martin girl was draining them from the outside.
Yeah.
Stulke. She was incredible yesterday. The Marshall girl played some tough defense. You know, I mean, I don't think Nebraska should hang their heads at all. Nope. It was, you know, for a team that wasn't predicted, you know, I don't even know what the early season predictions were, but I know they didn't have them predicted to be in the top four or top five. And, you know, they got that seed in the tournament and they played very, very well. You know, there are critics of Amy Williams out there, you know, questioning whether or not she has what it takes, you know, to.
I would be one of them. In the past, up until this tournament, I'll just flat out say it. I would look at Amy Williams and go, is she really the coach that can get us to. I think if you have an athletic department and you have 22 sports, that you should be pursuing excellence in all of them. You shouldn't just go, oh, you know, we just care about football and that's it. And that's the only thing we're going to invest in. That's the only, you know, I mentioned will a lot. I think you need the will to compete and be excellent across the board. And I think Nebraska has the resources to that. Prior to this tournament, I would have said, I'm really tired of Amy Williams and the inconsistency. This year, it was the loss to Rutgers that you just kind of went, what the hell is he doing? And well, then watching into this tournament, I think that they just, you know, they played, they got all the way to the end, and they almost won the damn thing.
Exactly. And, you know, Linda shares, it was a great game to watch. And I do, I agree with that 100%. Nerve wracking, you know, when you got a vested interest in a game and it's that close down the end, you know, it got me to thinking, I can, you know, they showed those shots of parents, you know, at different times late in the game. And, you know, you could just, it looked like some of those Markowski's dad just looked like he was dying a slow, painful death out there. But, you know, and how good was she? You know, she had, I think, over 20 points. She was double-digit rebounds. I wrote it down. I even prepped a little bit for today. She had actually, Markowski had 23 points and 13 rebounds. You know, she just played very, very well. And
yeah, she did.
I hope they land in a good spot, you know, in the bracket, and they have some opportunity to play well in the NCAA tournament. So yeah, good on them.
The other thing is that we have freshmen. You know,
we have freshmen
that Potts girl played very well. I thought she looked, she's a true freshman, right?
Yeah, she's a freshman. And is it Nicely? Am I saying?
Yeah, I think she's the other one.
Yeah, there were two in the lineup. You know, granted, they're going to lose Jazz Shelley, but Markowski's coming back. You know, they lose that other guard that transferred from Montana State. But, you know, hopefully, you know, is it Widener, the gal that got injured early? You know, for 2 years in a row, she's missed the season because of injuries. Hopefully she's healthy enough to play next year. Good. And you got Britt Prince coming in.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of optimism, you know, for the team going forward. And I guess, you know, I do follow the NCAA tournament once it gets going. All I have to say is, what I'm looking forward to most is someone beating Iowa, and whoever that is, whoever Iowa's playing, that's my favorite team of the day. I just don't want to see them get back in the final this year.
Now, I saw something on Twitter where 2.5 million people watched the game, and it was the most watched game on Sunday. And you consider the fact that I don't know what men's games were on Sunday. I think it was Duke, North Carolina on Sunday, or was on, I think it was a Saturday. You know, the one where Flopowski or whatever his name was tripped the guy and then did the Grayson Allen and said, I didn't even see him. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it was the biggest game on Sunday. So if this was football, and it should be said that this was a horrible English. This was a great representation for Nebraska athletics.
You know, I agree. I
mean, we always talk about, everybody's going to see us. Well, everybody saw us. And I think they see that a team that fought pretty hard throughout the tournament, and it was a very good game.
Yeah. Pajaro says Sunday was a banner day for Husker hoops, both men and women. It was awesome. Can't wait for March Madness. I'll be in Omaha for the first time for the dance. Go Big Red. So, yeah, I would agree. I thought it was a good day. I posed the question to, you know, before the day got started, and, you know, what would make, you know, Sunday a success with all of the Nebraska teams that were competing? What would make Sunday a success? And I think most of the people that at least I hung out with, you know, they wanted that women's team, you know, to win that tournament. Now, I don't think it was a failure because they didn't, but certainly I think, you know, the whole state was rooting for them. They really were.
And then the men's team went out and beat up Michigan. And I hate to say this, but in a way, I thought it was kind of an afterthought. They went to Michigan and they beat them fairly soundly. I kept flipping back and forth, and then the second half I mostly watched the women. But, there are a couple of points where Michigan looked like they might stay with them, and it really just turned out to be, Michigan needs to fire Juwan Howard and go on with something else with their program. They're Michigan, for God's sakes. They need to take care of their program, and he ain't the guy.
Well, I watched some of the game on Sunday. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to pay attention to that sport a little bit. Tominaga was lights out, 30 points.
Yeah.
I mean, and my two favorite guys on the team just had stellar games, Tominaga and Alec. And Alec was just a beast out there the entire game. I think he had 15 points. But it is so much fun to watch those guys compete. And, they have a 3 seed now for the tournament.
Right.
Fred Hoiberg has to be coach of the year. I know that recognition is coming out tomorrow. I'm sure there's other people out there that have a difference of opinion on that. But, preseason predictions, I know Nebraska was down in the bottom four. Nobody gave him an opportunity or gave him a chance to have this level of success this year. And they wiped out any of this damn bubble talk. I mean,
right.
I still can't believe that last week all those pundits out there kept talking about Nebraska being on the bubble or close to the bubble or whatever the hell the bubble is. But, good on them.
Linda Wilkins says, so we have a double bye. Yes, we do have a double bye, which is kind of weird to think about. And, Nebraska finishing third in the conference in men's. And that's just bizarre. I mean, that's kind of unheard of.
Well, it certainly is in our lifetime. Justin Rogge throws it. Now, Justin's looking down the road a little bit. Justin says, hot take of the day, Nebraska men's basketball team beats Creighton in the Elite Eight to advance to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. Justin, there is this old saying, don't get the cart ahead of the horse. I think maybe the cart is on the entrance ramp to I-80, and the horse is still nibbling a little bit of hay.
Don't count your chickens before they're hatched.
Well, you could say that too. I thought I'd change it up just a little bit.
Have you looked at the Big Ten basketball tournament? They laid it out. They have laid it out. What am I thinking?
Yeah, I think it plays pretty well to Nebraska. I think Nebraska's sitting in a pretty good spot. For one thing, they're on the opposite side of the bracket as Purdue.
They are.
So, I think Purdue is easily the top team in the conference. Nebraska did beat them, but, I don't think you want to be on the same side of the bracket as Purdue under any circumstance. No. So,
all right, we got Michigan and Penn State, and then the winner of that plays Indiana, and then the winner of that plays Nebraska.
Don't you kind of like the odds in that game?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I would – Michigan, Penn State, that's kind of a toss-up. I would think Indiana would win, but their season is just – I don't know. They're always the team – they're a lot like us in football, except that we've gotten over, I think, a lot of our we have to have a Nebraska guy do everything. We've gotten past a lot of the angst of all that stuff. Indiana is still stuck in this. Oh God, we're Indiana. They all want to fire Mike Woodson. So,
I think it's
a good matchup. Yeah.
The one thing I would say about that though, is that Nebraska's beaten Indiana twice this year, right? I know we beat them in Indiana. It's hard to beat a team three times. That's kind of one of those little mantras that's out there, but, I'd certainly rather see Nebraska where they're at in the bracket than on any of the other, lines out there. So good for them. Good on them.
Oh, wow. Paul Dalen gives us a $76 super chat. Thank you very much. $1 for every year my mom was a Husker fan. She went to hang out with Bob Devaney tonight. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Paul.
Oh, Paul. Son of a gun. Our thoughts are with you, Paul. Jeez Louise.
Yep.
Well, thanks Paul, for being with us.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, if that's the case, she's going to watch Nebraska win their first NCAA tourney game this year.
There you go. Here, I'll respond to this one here real quick. Linda Wilkins says, "Hey, Todd, are you having a little watermelon moonshine?" You know, Linda must be peeking through my curtains or something like that, because she's close. She's
been known to do that.
She was close. I'm actually sipping on some watermelon absolute vodka. So she had the fruit right, but no, not any shine tonight. I got to work tomorrow. When I get into the Mount Moonshine, I struggle a wee bit.
Do you speak in tongues?
Many. Yeah, multiple. Okay. Multiple. You betcha. You betcha, John.
All right. Tomorrow, I posted this earlier in Slack. We get a notice from the Big Ten because, you know, we are media. I get all sorts of media emails, but let's see. Tomorrow, excuse me. Tomorrow at noon Eastern, 11 p.m. God's time, the Big Ten Network, the 2023-2024 All Big Ten men's basketball team selections will happen. And that includes who gets coach of the year. So I hope that, you know what? I hope that Fred Hoiberg gets it, just because, I don't know, it'd be weird that we actually could win a coach of the year basketball and have a, are we a basketball school?
No. We're a volleyball school.
Maybe I'm frozen. Did I go away?
You froze for a minute.
Yeah, we're back to crappy internet again. And, you know, yeah. I pay a lot of money to have not good internet. What I asked was, did you hear the bit about the selection show or stuff tomorrow?
Yeah, we heard it. We got that.
Okay.
And then you asked the question, are we a basketball school? I said, yeah. No, we're a volleyball school.
Can we be many things?
We can be many things.
So we could be a basketball school.
I think it'd be great to win that whatever it's called, the Sears Trophy or whatever that thing is, you know, that for success of your athletic department.
Well, it would be great. But, you know, Stanford has like 48 sports, so they win it every year just out of the, you know, okay, read that.
Paul Dalen says, I said a few weeks ago that I felt Nebraska's sports were on the rise. I really feel like that now. Yeah. You couldn't have said any better than that, Paul. It was, you know, the last month has been really good for Nebraska athletics. And, you know, they're competitive in all of the sports that they're playing right now. And hopefully, you know, that continues on into the fall. At least I really hope it does.
Yeah, no kidding. So what else happened this weekend?
Well, we had the Big Ten wrestling tournament.
We had the Big Ten wrestling tournament.
Nebraska did really well. I thought it was kind of interesting on a national whatever you call it, a national writer or whatever, said that Nebraska was quietly awesome in the tournament. And I would say that was the case too. It was Nebraska got third, for those of you that didn't pay attention. Nebraska got third. Penn State won it running away. Arguably, Penn State's team this year may, in fact, be the best team in NCAA history. I mean, you could easily argue that. We'll see how it shakes down in
this Kansas. This Sturucci City kid or whatever left the
Sturucci
team. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's. We'll come back to Sturucci.
Okay.
Michigan got second, and then Nebraska was third, and Iowa was fourth. Nebraska had a champion in Ridge Lovett. Wrestled an incredibly exciting match against this Gomez kid at Michigan. Every time those two guys get together, there's fireworks. So that was really good. We had three third placers, Peyton Robb, Lenny Pinto, and Silas Allred. And then Jacob Van Dee was fourth. Brock Brock Hardy was fifth. Antrell Taylor was fifth. Nash Hutmacher was sixth. And Caleb Smith was eighth. And all of those guys have qualified for the NCAA tournament. The only Nebraska wrestler that didn't qualify through the Big Ten tournament was Bubba Wilson at 174. He has a chance to get an at-large selection. And I think he's got a pretty good chance of getting that. But before we leave the whole wrestling thing, I just want to make a couple of comments. Nash Hutmacher qualifying for the NCAA tournament is incredible. I mean, it truly is amazing. And it speaks to the athlete that kid is. If you haven't watched a wrestling broadcast with Shane Sparks, Jim Givens, Tim Johnson, and those guys who they've forgotten more wrestling than most people have ever known. They are so complimentary about the job that Nash Hutmacher has done. They also praise Matt Rhule for giving the kid an opportunity to wrestle. Of course, they think a lot of Mark Manning anyway. They call him a beast of a coach. But again, it bears repeating. Nash Hutmacher lost 45 pounds, 40 to 45 pounds in about a month to get down to weight. He had not wrestled a match in 4 years. And, you know, in a matter of 2.5 months, 3 months, he is an NCAA qualifier. That is just incredible. And he is so fun to watch. I hope he knocks someone off in the tournament. I hope he bumps off somebody that, you know, some kind of an upset in the tournament.
How did Michigan get second? I mean, we all know anybody pays attention to wrestling anyway, knows that Penn State is this giant juggernaut of, you know, doom for everybody else. But I thought Iowa might beat us, and we finished ahead of Iowa. That's what I always look at is, where is Nebraska? Yeah. Are they ahead of Iowa? Then we're successful. If we're behind Iowa, then by God, somebody needs to be fired and things burned down.
Nebraska fans really would wonder that, because Nebraska beat Michigan in a duel like something like 23 or 24-7. I mean, Nebraska wiped them up. But Michigan put it all together, and Michigan has depth. Their team is very, very strong. They did not have a national champion. They had a finalist that injury defaulted, medically forfeited his match.
Right.
They had a finalist that got beat by Ridge Lovett. They had a finalist that got beat at 165. They wrestled way above their seeds. They are a good team, and they just are peaking at the right time. What happened to Iowa? Well, that gambling situation back in the fall is what happened to Iowa. And I find that really, really interesting, because the DCI has really been smacked down on that thing. And so here you have kids at the University of Iowa and Iowa State that lost a year of competition. And that never, ever should have happened, at least the way that it did. But Iowa lost. Go ahead.
You need to explain that.
I don't know all the details.
Okay. Apparently what has happened in Iowa is it's been determined that what is the DCI?
Department of Criminal Investigation.
Okay. They overstepped their bounds and invaded privacy rights. And a lot of the investigating they were doing when it came to gambling, if you guys remember this way back in the fall, when it came to gambling against Iowa State and Iowa students, they overstepped their bounds with regards to privacy, and a lot of their investigations have been ruled unconstitutional, and they should have never been able to move forward with their cases. And in doing so, they cost athletes at both Iowa and Iowa State, I think, years of eligibility, which is – you know, I know we want to make fun of Iowa, but we should always make fun of Iowa for things that – you know, they can be made fun of, not because of shitty things that happened to them.
Yeah, it really was. And when you take a look at Iowa's wrestling team, two seniors did not get to wrestle, and their career is over. And one of them was 285-pounder Tony Cacioppi. He would have gotten second in the Big Ten. Nelson Brands, son of assistant coach Terry Brands, he's a returning All-American, 184 pounds. And they didn't score very many points at 184 in this tournament. And then the other kid was this Seabrett kid that would have fit in at 149 pounds, arguably one of their weaker weight classes. Right. So you pull three guys of that caliber out of the lineup. That's what happened to Iowa. And, you know, I'm an Iowa wrestling fan. I have been since I was a kid. I coached against Tom and Terry Brands when they were in high school. I just love the way they compete and wrestle. I do cheer for Nebraska when Nebraska wrestles against Iowa. But that was a travesty, and it's unfortunate. Now, with those three guys, they still don't touch Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State, like I said, arguably the best team maybe in history. Carter Storace is who you were talking about earlier, John.
Yes.
And this is Penn State kid, 174 pounds. He's a three-time national champion. He got hurt in the last duel of the year. And so everybody was sitting there thinking, how bad is he hurt? Oh, my gosh. You know, well, he weighed in and then he stepped on the mat for his first match, shook hands, referee blew the whistle, and he medically forfeited. And then he did the same thing in the backside of the bracket. Had he not wrestled in the Big Ten tournament, he would not, and I'm going to say wrestled, had he not competed in the Big Ten tournament, he would not have been eligible for the NCAA tournament. So that's what they did. Well, then apparently Saturday night on social media,
yeah,
he sends messages out that he's on to the next step in his life. I mean, everybody is saying, you know, it looks like I'm leaving Penn State. Cale Sanderson, the coach at Penn State, you got to love this drama. Cale Sanderson says, yeah, he was really upset. He wanted to wrestle. He was ready to go. He said it was our decision not to let him. And now today I see some new social media and it indicates that Carter Storace will be wrestling for Penn State. Now he'll have to get an at-large, just like Bubba Wilson. He'll have to get an at-large bid, but a three-time national champion is going to get an at-large bid for this.
Right.
So I want to put this one up. I think it applies to wrestling here. Wolfman321 says, what are our odds to have a national champion? Ridge Lovett is the best shot. He'll be the number two seed in the tournament. He'll be behind the kid from Arizona State that beat him in the last duel of the year, which means, unfortunately, he'll probably have to wrestle Gomez in the semifinals. I don't like that matchup again for a third time. Ridge had never beaten Gomez up until this year. Gomez was 2-0 against him. Ridge has beaten him twice. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But Ridge is the best opportunity that Nebraska has. Silas Aldred, he's not going to beat the kid from Penn State. Just not going to happen. Peyton Robb.
What about Nash? Nash
is not going to – he's not going to beat the kid from Penn State.
Okay.
But again, I'd love to see Nash.
Can you pick a guy up and twirl him in the air and smash him on the ground?
No, that's called a slam. And
okay, that's illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be kind of cool, though.
It would be kind of cool. I think we've exhausted wrestling.
You happy? Okay. Do we have any comments that we should take?
Well, why don't you roll through comments and let me look at a few. I haven't checked them out here.
I didn't see this one. You must have checked it. Brian Bauer, I haven't joined in for weeks. Well, shame on you, Brian. I missed the State of the Union address and some old guy yelling at people, so I thought these two geezers as a makeup event. Well, I was thinking that I should run for president. Because, I mean, what the hell?
Why not?
Why can't? Yeah.
You'd be the baby. You'd be the baby.
I would. I'd probably be, you know, I'd be mostly coherent, and I think that's better than what we got going. James Boardman says, was protocol followed and everyone made their flights? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
He's referring to the when Nebraska beat Iowa in Lincoln, that Lisa Bluter went all over, went ape shit about stuff and got angry. And, you know, one thing I will say about Caitlin Clark, Todd, is that I wish she was around. I played 2 years of high school basketball and then I quit because, you know, I couldn't run down the court and dribble at the same time without falling down. And if I'd have been able to see Caitlin Clark, I'd have realized that I could still be successful in running down the court and falling down if I could just shoot the ball, because that's what she does all the time. What did you – let's go back to that for a minute. What did you think about the officiating in the Big Ten? Let's go ahead and do that, because we always do.
I don't give a rat's ass. I've told you, I don't – officiating in my world in basketball is absolutely 100% irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
Irrelevant. It doesn't
matter. Get over it. Because on every damn play, if you read the rule book, you can call a foul on someone.
But that's
so
true.
So I don't give a rat's ass. If anybody wants, I'm still, as I said before, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. Maybe it's been over a month ago. I have yet, and I did, I looked at the National Federation of High Schools rule books on basketball. And I did not find the rule that says by the end of the game, each team must have an equal number of fouls called against them. I haven't found that rule. And everybody wants to sit there and bitch and complain and whine about how many more fouls our team got called on than the other team. Well, maybe the other team didn't foul as much as our team did. You know, don't give me that crap. I don't care about officiating in basketball, John. It doesn't matter in basketball. It doesn't.
I thought the game was rather evenly officiated. Women's basketball officiating is one of the unknown mysteries of the universe, how they call what they call them when they call it. I thought it was a very, very physical game, and they needed to start calling some fouls late, because otherwise look at this. Paul Dallin says, the fuck it doesn't matter, Todd. Huh? How about that response? Paul's coming through the computer, right through the internet at your ass. Anyway, I thought it was very physical. I thought that but both teams were pretty physical. You know what I mean? Both teams beat the hell out of each other, especially underneath the basket. And, that's where Markowski, I thought, was really the word gallant came to mind, but I don't think that's the right word. I thought she was just tough. She was tough. She was gritty. Yeah. That probably means something different now. Isn't that a dance?
I think so too. And you know, you open this up talking about Bluter and protocol. And you know, most people that are watching here tonight wouldn't know this, but Lisa Bluter was the head coach at Drake before she went to Iowa. And she was a pretty likable person. She really was. She was a good coach, and she thrived in that smaller college environment. Well, then she goes over to Iowa and she gets bit by the diva bug, the entitlement bug. And what a whiner. What a whiner. And, you know, teams take on the image of their coach. Teams reflect their coach. And so when you see Caitlin Clark out here like this, or the other girls like this, that's because they play for a whiner. I don't know. I guess, you know, you get your Hawkeye goggles on and you don't see that kind of thing going on, but, you know, whatever.
That is the one thing that always bothers me about Iowa. I will be cheering mostly for teams that play against them, although maybe not LSU. You know, if LSU and Iowa are going to play each other, I'm going to be conflicted, because if for those of you that didn't watch women's basketball or didn't pay attention to it, there was a brawl in the SEC championship game.
You're taking LSU's side South Carolina's side?
I you know what? I thought that Dawn Staley, the head coach of – I turned this game on to watch the last 2 minutes, and apparently they threw everybody out of the game except for five players that were on the floor for either team. And there was a brawl. Players got ejected. a South Carolina girl flattened an LSU girl. And then Dawn Staley, after the game was over, they won. South Carolina's 31-0, 32-0. And they asked her, and she said she apologized for it, and that wasn't what they were supposed to be about. And then Kim Mulkey comes out and says, what was it she said? I wish she'd have hit Angel Reese.
Angel Reese, yeah, yeah. Kim Mulkey's trash. You know,
she really is.
She's right a coach. Here. I mean, she's a good coach. She's a good coach. She puts winners on the court, but
she does.
God, she's I don't like her at all. I appreciated how Dawn Staley handled all that. But geez, you know, talk about a spat. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
All right. More comments. Charles Hullett says John has a horse with no name. Well, I don't. I wish I haven't been on a horse for many years. I'm not sure that was referenced to.
Here's one, John. I'm going to throw this one up. Anonymous says, if it's LSU versus Iowa, I'm rooting for the asteroid. There you go, John.
Paul Dalen says Amy Williams should be a candidate. And I guess we don't follow that as much, so I don't know who the coach of the year is for the Big Ten. I mean, maybe Amy Williams should be a candidate.
No, was it Purdue's coach? No, that's not right.
Oh, did they already give it out? They did, didn't they?
Yeah, they already gave it out. They gave it out last week.
Fred Sacco says, I bet John could take him down with his famed flying gibberish attack. He's referring to Nutt and Nash Huttmacher. I could make his head spin with my, I'd probably do one of those aphasia based word things where I spew salad and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And while he's confused, I could, I don't know, jump on him and scream, I'm an old man. And then wet myself. And he collapsed at that point out of terror.
John, this guy agrees with you because I've heard you on the record say this. Tom Chapelier says refs have influenced men's home games. That's why the home teams have won more frequently.
That is true. I mean, the home teams usually get more calls. They just do. I think that there have been studies done on that. I've mentioned that before. I should actually pull up the studies. I think there were studies done actually in professional soccer that showed that as well. But the home team does get the calls. That's just how it goes. But, I think you see, at least in Big Ten's men's that, Paul Dalen says, I don't think there's a lot of evidence for that. Well, Paul, you're a numbers guy. Go look it up. Paul Dalen says there are a lot of reasons for home field advantage. There are, particularly in basketball, because you're in arenas where they're packed full of people and there's a lot of screaming going on. And you just, you know, when you're in that side, that thing, it's like there's a giant battery of energy going on in there. And I think that's Nebraska basketball, men's basketball's problem is they tend to feed off the crowd at PBA and they need to figure out how to make their own energy when they're going to play these neutral site games coming up in the tournaments. Let's see what else. Linda Wilkins says, Todd, have you been to Millard South High School? What'd you think?
I haven't been. Well, I was when I was a kid. It's been 40 years, maybe 50 years, Linda, since I've been to Millard South. I'll get there here in the near future. I haven't been in any of the Millard high schools since I started the job. That'll happen here probably next year.
Scott Schiffer Miller says, Todd is wrong. I just wanted to read that part.
Yeah.
Officiating can make big swings, and we see very different officiating at homes versus on the road. Well, maybe we'll look up that stuff because, you know, we'll hopefully have more basketball to talk about as Nebraska gets to the Final Four this season with both their men and women's teams.
Maybe I should backtrack.
Okay. You're going to backtrack.
Two words. Tim Donaghy.
Who's Tim Donaghy?
Tim Donaghy is a former NBA referee.
Okay.
That was run out of the league for his involvement with gambling that influenced his officiating. So maybe officiating makes a difference when people are gambling and you have crooked referees out there.
Well,
but then what's kind of funny is an expose about Tim Donaghy. Tim Donaghy shared that it came from the top down in the NBA that referees are not to call fouls on Kobe, on Jordan,
right,
on the top players in the league.
Right.
So you tell me, does officiating make a difference? Hell no, not if they're not going to call fouls on the stars.
I am not following this logic. It's okay, though. We're going to move on.
You got to work your way through it a little bit.
Scott Schiffermiller says, John, I'm really proud of you for saying my name correctly. It's not easy, and you usually struggle with names. Well, from now on, you'll be known as Scott. So there you go. And then Fred Sacco comes in with, that's not all John struggles with. Yes, that is true. Brian Dennehy. Aaron Keene says, I'll counter with Brian Dennehy.
Look it up.
Forget that guy.
Look it up, Aaron. Look it up. Tim Donaghy. Tim Donaghy. Grew up outside Philadelphia, the cradle of NBA basketball officials.
Okay. Baseball, Todd. I honestly did not pay any attention to baseball this weekend. Do you know why?
No, tell me. You were watching basketball.
Because my rotten son was gone, and I actually had my wife at home to myself, and we had a fabulous time with ourselves, and we watched movies, and we ate frozen pizza and really crappy frozen pizza, and he's so picky about what food we eat. We don't get to eat whatever, you know. Anyway, I didn't pay attention to baseball because I knew I had you and Aaron. So what happened with baseball? Friday night, they sucked.
Oh, it was horrible Friday night. I was so frustrated watching that game. Well, Nebraska won the series. They won 2-1 over South Alabama. South Alabama is a good team, decent team. Came in with an 11-3 record, I think. Picked up some transfers. They got two pitchers from Auburn, SEC caliber pitchers. But geez Louise, for the home opener, before you could blink, four batters into the game, South Alabama's ahead 4-0. And part of that was because it didn't seem like Nebraska even really wanted to play. You know, like there was snow on the ground that morning, and they thought, oh, well, we won't, you know, whatever. So it was, they got rocked on Friday. But then Will Bolt kept him out in the huddle for an extremely long time after the game, and he challenged him. He challenged him to play the way they knew how to play, and they came back, and they ripped him apart. Nebraska looked really good on Saturday. Brett Sears, starting pitcher Saturday, he should be the Friday night starter. I know they had Drew Christo in that role this weekend. Drew looked good the week before. He really did. But, you know, the old Drew Christo showed up on Friday night. So hopefully he gets things straightened out. But Brett Sears just was outstanding on Saturday. The offense woke up. I thought it was kind of interesting. I wrote this in a column on Corn Nation about how on Friday, three of the batters in Nebraska's lineup were hitting 150 or lower. And you don't, you know, you're like, what? We don't have better hitters than that. One of them happened to be this Rhett Stokes from New Mexico, who they put in at third base because of some injuries. All Rhett Stokes did, you know, he was hitting just a bit above 100. All he did on the weekend was He went 9 for 12. And so his batting average for the weekend is like 730 something. He had 5 RBIs and he was the Big Ten player of the week. So Rhett Stokes, given an opportunity, took advantage of it and played really, really well. So, you know, it was not the best played series by the baseball team. They put a freshman out to start on Sunday. Unfortunately, the guys behind him decided they'd kick the ball around or wouldn't get their glove on the ground, and he was behind 4-0, you know, this struggling freshman because of errors. So baseball team, they won. They play 2 games this week at Wichita State, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they're back home next weekend against Nicholls State. So I'm excited about the baseball team. They just need some consistency. They need to get Josh Overbeek back. They need to get him healthy and get him back. And they still need to figure out a few slots in the lineup. So that's what I got to say about baseball,
Chuck. Okay, so baseball's looking good early in the season.
Baseball's looking good.
There's no reason to fire anybody.
No reason to fire any baseball coaches.
We are, by the way, we're not going to talk about softball because tomorrow night, Tuesday nights, Andy and Miley or Andy and Jaden or all three of them are going to have I think they're going to do it weekly, this Tuesday night show just about Nebraska softball. Also, we are trying to get to have a get-together and the Iowa series the weekend of the spring game. We're still trying to figure all that out. I just buy a big flag and we go tailgate at the baseball parking lot, right?
That's my thinking. Okay. So we'll have some more. We got to have more organization than that.
We do. So, we do. I'm counting on you, Todd, because you're the great organizer.
Well, I'm a great organizer, but I don't have all the resources. Roger Moore says Young Guns.
Well, we tried to stream Young Guns, and what happened was YouTube, about 10 minutes into it, blocked the stream because of copyright violations, which we should have known was going to happen. But I told Greg to go ahead with it. We'll just find out how this works, and then we're still trying to figure out how we're going to actually stream the thing together all as a big bunch, and then we'll let you know where we're doing that. 48 minutes, Todd. What else do we have?
Oh, what else do we have?
Well, I posted something. Come on. It seems that the track team. Go ahead.
Anonymous says, out of the 4 women's sports next year, volleyball, basketball, soccer, softball, it'd be ironic if Nebraska won the Big Ten in all but volleyball next year. Oh.
Well, you know, the soccer team made it to the Elite Eight.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
if you look at softball, how this year is going, Nebraska across the board is, I guess we've covered that. I mean, we're doing very well.
Well, when you think about it, this year, volleyball and soccer won the Big Ten, right?
I think so, didn't they? Yes, because Nebraska beat Wisconsin.
And soccer, did soccer win the Big Ten?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they did. This is where our old man memories are failing us.
And basketball was second.
Oh, and women's basketball.
Women's basketball.
Yes.
And softball's struggling a bit this year.
Right.
They'll be top half Big Ten. Yeah. We're not a football school. We're a women's sports school.
Well, we have a men's basketball coming into the tourney, which leads me to this. Maybe I should have this for a separate. We'll start the discussion and we'll continue it in later shows. The Nebraska men's basketball team has played very well. They've been very fun to watch. Probably the most fun Nebraska basketball team I can think of ever. You know, there hasn't been tons of them, but there's been some. But, and now I've completely, it just went out of my head. If if Nebraska does not win a game in the NCAA tourney as the men, is this whole season as not a success?
No, I think this season.
That's a lot, isn't it?
I really have a hard time making one game the determining factor on whether or not a season's a success. I mean, we've popped off from we could lose every football game of the year, but by God, we better beat Oklahoma. Or if we can beat Oklahoma, I don't care if we lose every other game of the year. No, come on.
That was a lie.
That was a lie.
So you're not gonna say that.
I'm not gonna say that.
Okay.
I think this basketball season has been a success for both teams. And I really think it would be a cherry on top of the sundae if they both could get a win in the NCAA tournament. It'd be nice if they both could get a couple of wins, get to the next weekend. They're both capable of doing that.
Well, here, some people have chimed in. Scott says it's a successful season, but it will really suck. That is very true. MK says, John, let's get through the big tourney first. That's probably true. Wolfman 321 says, this will still be a success. This is the best home record and the best Big Ten finish. This season may have changed the course of the team. That is, you know, that's something to consider for the future because, I mean, let's face it, for decades, Nebraska has just not had a men's basketball program that was worth really writing home about or talking about a lot. And now we do. And thank God, because, you know, if you'll notice, there's been almost no discussion of Nebraska football. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about people writing articles and stuff like that or doing things with football. And thank God we have other teams to talk about, because otherwise all the papers and everybody would go broker than they already have. Go ahead.
I want to just throw this in here too. This going into this season, this was a make or break year for Hoiberg.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, yeah, it really was. And what he has shown is I'm biased. I've been a Hoiberg fan for years. He adapted. He figured out that the brand of basketball, the way he recruited at Iowa State, did not transfer to Nebraska in the Big Ten. So he adjusted. You know, he was able to look at himself in the mirror and say, hey, I got to change. And now that they've had this level of success, I think it puts him in a position to recruit even a little bit better to this kind of a system that he has in place. Now, what the hell that is, I don't know, because I don't know X's and O's in this sport. But I think it bodes well.
Well, I think one of the big things everybody always talks about lack of point guard, but I think that's true for probably a lot of men's basketball teams. The other thing that we've always had a problem with is getting a big guy. And Rank Mast just filled that role very well this year. So has Josiah Alec, who plays. You know, I made a tweet during the Michigan game that Josiah Alec just runs wherever he wants and nobody wants to get in his way. And that really is kind of like how he looks like he plays. He just goes after the ball, and if somebody's there, he's going to kill him to get it. which is, I'm glad he's our guy because he's fun to watch in that regard.
Josiah Alec plays like about 6 inches taller than he is.
A
bruiser.
Anything else? We have 5 minutes to fill.
Well, yeah, because I think Wolfman had a good suggestion to burn up the last five. Now would be the time to practice your Shark Tank pitch on the gravy food truck.
Well, let me ask this. There's a gob of people here. And let me ask, is anybody interested in creamy white tuna gravy?
Oh, God.
Anybody at all? Or can we just take that out of consideration? I'm not sure what part of the region of the world that's from, but there is a creamy white tuna gravy. I mean, yeah. Husker Chuck says, ew. Let's see. Paul Dallin says, fuck that shit, John.
I agree with Paul on that.
James Boardman sounds like a Saturday night. Linda Wilkins says, over toast, it's Greek.
Yeesh.
Okay. All right. So where are we? On fries in Iowa. I did not. Is that true? That's probably not true.
No.
Fred Sacco, John's description just put me off gravy and food. What about a good, like, you know, a good biscuits in gravy? Just a gravy that goes like a
sausage. That's called sausage gravy or red eye gravy or sawmill gravy. Yeah.
Sawmill gravy.
Now we're talking gravy.
Okay. Well, we'll have to come up with names for these. You know, they can't just be sausage gravy. It has to be like, I don't know, Dave Remington gravy or something. You know, or gravy is not white. Both fucking stop. Okay. You know what? The other thing that by the way, when we started the show, we had some problems. We had some problems because I showed up a little late and Todd wanted to teach me a lesson, apparently. So he started the whole thing, but he didn't push the go live button. So we were confused. And then he tried it again. But the reason why I was late, do you want to know why I was late, Todd?
I think we all do.
It's because I was working on another new project because I can never have enough projects.
Tell us more.
That was so hard. Monday Night Therapy, the musical. Huh? How about that?
I'm intrigued.
Right back. Are you intrigued? Good. You should be intrigued. It's a long off season. I'm also working on guests that we're not going to have until we get past basketball. How do you pronounce this?
Ajou.
Ajou? Ajou gravy. Is ajou gravy? It is dip. For the purposes of this conversation.
If you can pour it, it's gravy. That's what we've decided.
Okay. MK powered by AI. Well, you know, there might be some AI in there a little bit. You know, I have Claude 3 was recently released. And I don't know if you know what Claude is. Claude is a version of AI, just like ChatGPT and just like what Bard was that Google now named Gemini. And I tried to use Claude 3 and I didn't use it for fiction, and it was very disappointing. Linda Wilkins says, John, will you be in tights? Well, that's
of course he will, and because Lin-Manuel is going to ghostwrite the musical for us.
Oh my God! Okay. Okay. Anything else, Todd? You got to work on the musical. You got to work on the gravy business plan.
Musical gravy business plan. If you would have asked me when I was 35 years old, as I neared, I guess I've already retired, but as I near my second retirement, would I be interested in a musical and a gravy truck? There's no way that ever would have come up.
Yeah. But just you never know where life is going to lead you, man.
That is true, especially when I'm hanging around with you, John.
One more thing that popped into my head before the show, because you know things have been going decently lately, except for the headaches. But the clarity of thought. There you go. I right before the show, an old song came into my head, and I have to ask: do you remember Charlie Burton?
Yes.
Breathe for me, Presley.
Breathe for me, Presley. Breathe for me, Presley.
Okay. Here we go. Let's see. Paul Dallin says, would be big in San Antonio. We have taco trucks on almost every corner, so they need gravy in San Antonio. Wolfman 321 says John is planning his path to an EGOT. Ego to what is that? EGOT.
Emmy.
What is it?
Grammy. Oh. Oscar. Okay. Tony.
Oscar. Oscar. Hey, Charles Hullett says bone apple teeth. I think that's a bone appetite. But bone okay, we should just go home.
Oh,
Fred Sacco.
Go ahead.
Fred Sacco says, John, GPT, half the knowledge, 10 times the swearing. God, that, you know, that sounds like a product I should look at. I have a long list of stuff to do, man.
I'd love this. Roger Moore says, next stadium chant. Gravy!
Power! Okay. Husker Chuck, a cement mixer would work great as a gravy truck. John's shit ass gravy. I don't think that's something that people would buy, but you know, people are kind of weird. It seems
depends on the color and consistency. Okay, well, John, we are really
we've hit the end here. Okay, good night, Todd, and thank you everybody for showing up.
Good night, John. We'll see everybody next week.
Yep. Yeah, take care, y'all. Bye.